Merchandising. Disney the t-shirt, Disney the lunchbox, Disney the flamethrower. We all love Disney merch, so today we're talking about it. What are our faves? Why are they so special? And then it's the greatest Disney trivia of all. It's the king of the castle, and today's a doozy because we got Teacup for Ones, Matt Yipchuk in the house. Miriam is our champion, and her reign has been long. Will she keep this winning streak going? Well, it's all happening right here on today's episode of the We Like Theme Parks
Podcast.
Proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks Podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks Podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond. Silencio, Bondo! Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, and the queen of the castle, the champion, we're not worthy, from the Churro Fund, it's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. I was just giving you your props, queen.
Oh, thanks.
Listen, your trivia brain is insane. How many have you won in a row? Like 12? I don't even remember.
I think we stopped counting.
We did.
And I don't know if it's necessarily my trivia brain, but my knowledge of your jokes.
Compliment, I guess. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And we're also joined, of course, by our favorite fella. It's comedian, Diz nerd, and impulse shopper. It's Mark Andrada. Mark, what's happening?
Why did you call me an impulse shopper?
I think you see something you want it, you get it. You're not really trivial about the price or whatever. You're like, that's something I need. I'm getting that. You also bought me like ice cream the other day out of nowhere. That felt like an impulse move.
That was your housewarming.
Oh, that's my housewarming. Oh, okay, cool.
Jeepers, okay, not a good housewarming.
No, it was amazing. It was so thoughtful. You did not have to do that. It was a really hot weekend, and Mark sent me ice cream. Like, what?
I'm an ice cream bandit. That's what I am.
You are. It was awesome. And not only did you send ice cream, because I figured if I'm getting ice cream from Mark, it's going to be like hipster ice cream. It's going to be like, oh, fig and walnut, and there's something weird.
How rude.
Yeah. Right. He sent me
smoked hibiscus.
That's the one. You sent me like Bondo's greatest hits. It was amazing. Cookie dough and moose.
That's what you like.
Yes, thank you. Stop.
Vanilla. Stop.
Is there a cookie mashed into that vanilla? Because then we're talking. I literally do that. I take chocolate chip cookies and I crunch them up and I put it in a villain and they stir it. And it's the greatest.
You could just buy cookies and cream.
No, because that's Oreos. I don't want Oreos. I want chocolate chip cookie with the dough and all that stuff chocolate chip in the vanilla ice cream. They should make just chocolate chip cookie ice cream. Why has no one done this?
I bet Cookie Monster already does.
Well, if you buy a Cookie Monster, that's a thing. If you buy a Cookie Monster ice cream, it's blue. You'll get a blue ice cream cone. I don't want the blue.
Or you can go to Dairy Queen, get a Blizzard.
Yeah. Those are okay. It's not the same. It's better when I do it. You know, it's homemade. It feels
okay.
Know, it's a special.
Hey, I got one. I got a life hack. I got a restaurant hack for you.
I need it.
If you're prepared.
I am.
Okay, so here's what you do. You go to McDonald's, right?
Okay, yeah.
You're going to eat at McDonald's. You're going to have your filet of fish or whatever it is, your Big Mac, quarter pounder, whatever you're eating.
I'm a McDouble guy. That's my jam.
Follow your heart.
Okay.
You get your meal. You also get a pie.
Like an apple pie? Yeah, whatever pie,
because there's apple, but sometimes there's seasonal pies, or if you're in a different region of the world, there's different pies.
Okay.
You get a pie.
Yeah.
You eat your meal like a regular person, right? You open this pie, you take the pie out, put it on top of the box.
Okay.
You eat your meal like a regular person.
Okay.
You take the pie, you put it back in the box, you go back to the cashier.
Oh.
You say to the cashier, I'd like a McFlurry, please.
Oh.
And they say, oh, what flavor? And I say, this kind, and I hand them the pie that I just had.
What?
Cooling the entire time. This is the key. The key is it must be cooling while you eat, because if you try to make a McFlurry out of a hot pie, you're going to get a milkshake. Gotta cool the pie. You bring the pie back, you make a McFlurry out of it. They're going to give you a look, if it's your first time, they're going to give you a look like, okay. And you just say, if they ever question, you just go, charge me for an Oreo. Don't put any Oreo in it. Just put this pie. So then they, because sometimes the cashier is like, well, I don't know what to charge you, because they or it blows their mind, right?
Yeah, it's, my mind's already blown, so sure, yeah.
And then you get a apple pie McFlurry. Now, if you're bold and you have a cashier who's with it a little bit, you can also ask them to put a little bit of like caramel in that McFlurry. So you get apple pie with caramel McFlurry.
And she good?
Yes, that is the best McFlurry. There is no McFlurry better than that McFlurry.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
100%.
This is all banking on the hope that the McFlurry machine isn't broken.
Yes, that is correct.
Truth.
And
which
worst case scenario.
90% of them are.
Yeah, worst case scenario here, you're eating a cold pie.
Still best case, honestly.
Guys, speaking of cold pie, we got a very special guest here today joining us from YouTube's Teacup for One. He sat there and listened to this whole ice cream rant. It's Matthew Yipchuk. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm just planning what McDonald's to go to right after we wrap this up.
Matt, what is your McFlurry of choice?
Oreo, 100%. Because then it's like a cookies and cream, but like the freshest cookies and cream.
Yeah. Good call.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Miriam, what's your favorite McFlurry?
I don't McFlurry, really. Oh, okay. I'm a Blizzard gal.
Mm. Oh, what's your favorite Blizzard?
Heath.
Ooh, good call.
Although, we do have right now a Thin Mint Girl Scout cookie one.
Yes, that is my favorite one. That is my favorite one.
Yum.
Yeah.
These are all great ideas, guys. Go out and eat these crazy things. Heath, I haven't, yum, I want it. Guys, today's a fun episode. We're talking about a ton of stuff, and then it's King of the Castle time. It's been a while, but we're pumped. We're talking about merch today. Matt, I heard you love merch, and I heard you love trivia, so you were the guy to bring on today.
I love all of those things. They're like my two favorite things.
And tell me if I'm wrong, but did you not drop, is it drop the gauntlet? Is that the word you'd use? Release the gauntlet?
Throw.
That's the point. You threw a gauntlet at Miriam. Throw. How rude.
Yes.
The when did that happen? You were just like, hey Bondo, can I... I'd really like to do King of the Castle.
What is this voice?
Oh, it's my Matt Yipchuk voice.
That's my actual voice.
Remind me of how you kind of bamboozled your way into the King of the Castle.
Bamboozled?
I think I was listening to one of the episodes in my car and then yelling that I knew the answer and nobody else did. And then that's when I messaged you and was like, you know what? This is a travesty that no one else knows the Saturday morning cartoon theme songs. I think it was either that or...
Don't forget the lyrics.
Yeah, it was Tailspin and other assorted 90s gems. That's what it was. Yeah. I was now singing along and just like, you know what? No, this castle must be mine. I already have the wing picked out to display the Funkos.
Okay, you ready, Matt? Here we go. Oh, we
Tailspin.
Oh, we
Tailspin.
Friends for life through thick and thin.
With another tailed spin.
Oh, he's legit, guys.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, amazing. I love it. I'm glad I got that sound in. All right, friends. Well, hey, we got lots of fun stuff to talk about today. But before we do it, you know what we got to do? We got to sell some shirts, right? TeePublic.
TeePublic presents.
It's your shout out.
TeePublic's where you can find all kinds of Diz nerdy and Universal shirts. You go to our website, welikethemeparks.com, click on t-shirts, take a look around the site, find some stuff you like. Some of our stuff, other people's stuff, what have you. Grab some cool gear for the parks. It's going to be awesome. Today, I want to give a shout out to somebody. We've given them a shout out before, but recently they sent me a super cool pic of them rocking a We Like Theme Parks t-shirt at Universal Studios. So I got to give a big ups to @MindfulMegs. Megs is awesome. She's a Disney fanatic. She's a bookworm. She's a Hufflepuff. Hufflepuffs?
Yeah.
That's right. And she's also a friend. Thanks so much for representing us in the parks. And just thanks for hanging around. We love you, Megs. Stick around. And thanks for listening. Hey, Matt, you want to shout somebody out today?
Sure. So, yeah, I want to give a shout out today to another one of my favorite fellow Disney YouTubers. The last shout out I did was to Chris from Orlando, which like half shout out there just to remind people because he's awesome. But also my shout out is the Hideland Adventures. So these are theme park vloggers and just generally Florida vloggers. They're Mike and Amanda Hyde. They started out doing all things Disney, but they've kind of expanded their bubble to do a lot of different attractions within the Florida region. And Mike is also a professional chef, so sometimes they'll do super fun cooking videos. And they've been on a couple of my live shows over on Teacup for One. So yes, Mike and Amanda Hyde at the Hideland Adventures. If you want to take a look at their Instagram right now, I see a really delicious looking donut from a food truck. A vintage Hunchback of Notre Dame, like cardboard cutout from a flea market, and a Funko Pop. So clearly they're awesome.
What's like a big Quasimodo you stick it in your house?
It's a big Phoebus. So it looks like it's a promotional thing that was probably in a video store in like 95. Yeah. There you go, with a flag.
Oh, so they found neat. It at, oh.
Yeah. I think they found it at a flea market somewhere in the Lakeland area. Yeah, at the Lakeland Antique Mall.
Oh, very cool. It would have been crazy if it was like a Claude Frollo. Could you imagine just like big Claude Frollo in your house? It'd be so disturbing.
Oh, I have one of those like just standing over my bed.
Oh, love it. Good thing we're talking merch today. You can talk all about it. So let's get into it. It's my favorite things.
My favorite things. Hey.
Okay, Disney merch. I mean, listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you got it. You bought it. You paid for it. We've all done it. And why you buy the merch or what you buy, that's kind of your prerogative. So I'm kind of interested in hearing everybody's kind of favorite merch, why it's their favorite merch, what they set out to get at the parks, and we'll just muck around and see what people are into. Why don't we kick things off with you, Matt? You're our guest today. Matt, give me a sense of your quintessential most favorite prize Disney merch and maybe just some things that you look for when you're at the parks.
I go through phases on all of my trips. I've sort of shifted my mentality recently to spend more of my spending money on like fun experiences. Like I did a drawing class with a Disney animator and then I went on one of the Keys of the Kingdom tour. So that was cool.
Tell me about the drawing with the animator. What was that all about?
Oh, it was so much fun. So it was the very first ever Epcot Festival of the Arts, like the year when it was only on weekends. And so they just had an animator and he was teaching gesture drawing. So it wasn't Disney animation, but it was this really cool form of drawing that they teach all the Disney animators over at Cal Arts. And the whole idea is just identifying quickly the energy and how a moving subject is moving and trying to capture that.
Wow, very cool.
It was brilliant. It was just drawing explained to me in a way that just makes sense for my brain. And actually, coincidentally, within reach here, the class was so good that I actually bought the textbook he was talking about. So it's kind of like a connected souvenir. Yeah. I got it for Christmas. It's called Drawn to Life. And it's just a collection of essays from one of the professors that was teaching all the animators. And it's amazing. So the whole class was just about watching a moving figure and then figuring out how to like identify where their energy is directed, which has actually been really influential in how I take my Funko pictures.
Is that not the name of the Cirque du Soleil show that's supposed to be coming? Is it not Drawn to Life?
It is.
Is there a connection there? Just wondering.
I want to think there is. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, it's probably your animator guy. He's like the director or something. He's like, hey, read my book.
Probably.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Right on. Okay, so sorry, I interrupted your merchandise rant here. Keep going.
Oh, please. It's all good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's one of my main priorities is that now when I go, I try to be very aware of what I'm going to spend money on, be it merchandise or experiences. And when it comes to merchandise, I really try to get things that are going to bring the Disney magic into my day-to-day life because I made some of those impulse buys for things that are really cool. And then they're cool for like a week when I get home and then I forget about them. But then there's stuff that seems boring when I'm in the parks, but like I still see it every day, like my Hollywood Tower Hotel keychain that I have on my car. Yeah. And so like, this is just my daily dose of Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Anytime I'm driving, I have my keychain. Cool. Another thing that I'm really into is I like getting people to either draw me or take pictures of me. So when they have the spirit photography, I'm really vain.
Why? Yeah.
Oh, because it's so, well, okay. This is partially one of those things that was cool for like a week, but I have one of those spirit photography photos of myself from the Haunted Mansion. So it's a picture of me that turns into like a ghoul, depending on what angle you're looking at it at.
Oh, spooky.
Cool.
It's really fun. I haven't framed it yet, but I have it and I know that I have it. So that's fun.
Yeah.
When I went on my most recent trip, I got a caricaturist to do a caricature of me, which just turned into the best investment ever because that's become my like go-to image that I use on my Instagram and on my YouTube channel.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's this really great cartoon mat. Mm-hmm. And that has been one of the best purchases ever. But I'm also really into Disney art, which is, again, a byproduct of the first trip that I took as an adult by myself when they had the Festival of the Arts. And ever since then, I've made a point of getting at least one really nice piece of Disney art that I frame and then put up on my wall. So I usually try to get like one of the bigger 8.5 by 11-ish sized prints, but then I'll also get a bunch of little postcards that I can frame. And I've acquired like a Disney art collection that's far classier than I myself am in my life. So that's fun.
So what's your favorite piece? Like, is there one piece that you bought and you remember where you bought it and it was special because blank?
Oh, absolutely. So probably the specialist one is the very first one that kicked off the collection, which is, it's by Greg McCullough, and it is Mickey Mouse as a bellhop in the Tower of Terror. And he looks kind of evil, and he has Pluto also as a bellhop looking kind of evil. Then the rest of the friends, like Minnie, Goofy, and Donald, and maybe Daisy, are in the elevator looking terrified. And it's filled with all these hidden Mickeys. And that was just amazing because, first off, I got to meet Greg McCullough, and I didn't realize what a big deal he was in the Disney art world until after the fact. So that was fun. And it was also a big deal because, like, that trip was my first time riding Tower of Terror. And so it was just this, like, piece that embodied me riding a ride based on my favorite TV show ever. I'm a big Twilight Zone fan, combined with Mickey Mouse, who I love, and Disney art. So that's top tier for me. Wow. A close second would be a beautiful piece that is all the Disney cats hanging out together.
Huh. Oh, everybody wants to be a cat.
Be a cat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and when I bought that, the girl...
Are they playing poker? Are they playing poker or what?
No, no, they're just all... Oh. I could go get it. I'll show you. I'll show you after.
Yeah, but Miriam, why are you shaking your head? Miriam's shaking her head at me like, no, I'm playing.
What? No, they're not playing. Lame. It's just kind of all.
It's not lame. It was so rad. Every Disney cat shooting crap. Come on, seven.
Oh, that would be so great. I wish so badly.
No, all the cats and guys and dolls?
Pretty much, yeah. Luck be a lady tonight. Ha! Didn't they say ha when they threw the dice?
No.
At the very end? Ha! I'm pretty sure. Frank Sinatra. Ha! Yeah, I got it.
But no, that was Marlon Brando.
Who played Nathan Detroit? Was
Nathan Detroit was...
Nathan Detroit was...
Wasn't Sinatra?
Was Sinatra,
yeah. But Luck Be a Lady is sung by...
Oh, right. Sky Masters. Sky throws the dice. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Okay.
Come on, Chris.
you were in that show twice.
Yeah. And I was Nathan Detroit once.
To be fair, Chris was in the show twice and then they fired him. Like, it's not like he did two different productions. He did two shows and they went, you're out.
Oh, get out of here. Nathan Detroit.
Nathan Detroit.
Miriam, let's head on over to you. I know you're a merch like maven, but what's your favorite, most prized merch? You clutch it, you hold it, you love it, you rub it on your face. What is it?
Rub it on your face.
I don't do any of those things with my merch. Okay, I mean, that's a good question. I don't typically, what I'm buying in the parks is a spirit jersey always because they're comfortable and they're cute.
Yeah.
And so that's my favorite type of merch that you can buy at the parks. I typically like to buy small shop stuff just because they make more interesting, cooler things than the parks are making, which I hate to say, but
it's
just how it is. Truth. All know I am an ear fanatic, and so I have a couple of my most prized ears with me. This one is a Forky one. It says, I am trash. And this is from Best Mickey Ears. They're a 3D printing company. They're cute.
Very cool.
And then this other one, I forgot who made it. I'm the worst, but it's a Mickey balloon ears.
Oh, those are great.
Those are beautiful.
Right? We all know I love a Mickey balloon. So those are my favorite ears.
Wow, I like it.
And hopefully by the end of the show, I'll remember who the shop is and I'll say who it is because that's all they do is make Mickey balloon ears.
Wow, that's pretty beautiful. I mean, Miriam, we've seen you on the pod with all your different spirit jerseys and they're great. And I mean, I think a lot of them are themed, right? So it's not just a Disneyland, but you have like, you know, you have your like Animal Kingdom one. You have your
Remember I lost my Lion King one. Don't worry, I found it. It's out of the void now.
Oh, good.
So I got a Lion King in Animal Kingdom. I got a really cute British one from Epcot when I was there. And they have a mint one that I have my eye on right now at Disneyland. So that would be next.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Of course.
Can dudes wear spirit jerseys?
You've asked this before?
I have,
absolutely,
right?
They can.
You can? Okay, cool. All right.
You can wear whatever you want.
I think they're super comfortable.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I'm a husky, so I like comfy things. So yeah, I'm going to rock one next time. I'm going to get
they're
one.
They're perfect for a freezing cold Fantasmic show.
When Tron comes out, I'm hoping there's a Tron Spirit jersey. And then,
I'm sure there will be.
Okay, well.
I think this is an easily achievable hope.
Well, I'm going to get two. I'm going to get one for me and one for you, Miriam, so we can wear them together.
Only if it says Flint.
Orange and one blue.
That's the only way I want one, if is it if it's Flint. A Flint jersey.
What if it just says Tron? Bondo loves it.
We still want it.
This Tron Bondo loves it. Why did they make this one? Weird.
It's a limited edition, bro. Get in. You know, only two made. Yeah.
Are we showing all of our merch at one time, or are we going around again?
Well, why don't we go around a little bit? Why don't we? Okay. Why don't we head over to Mark?
Because I got a couple more things. But.
Okay. Well, I want to see it definitely. Mark, what do you care to show us today? Show and tell.
Well, okay. So where do I start? All of my stuff is vintage. Like it's all retro stuff from when I was a kid. Because that's the stuff that sort of. I got older and I don't buy things. Like, I'll buy clothes.
Yeah.
Like, similar to, you know, Miriam getting, like, Spirit jerseys and stuff. Spirit jerseys. Like, I treasure my Tokyo Disneyland hoodie. Like, yeah. I love that thing. It's also the coziest hoodie. It is so like, it's just so comfy.
Yeah.
But I love, when I was a kid, it would have been, like, 1985, 86, mm-hmm. something like that. I got this picture book
mm-hmm.
from Walt Disney World, and I have leafed through that thing more than I've leafed through anything in my life, and that led me down a path to always, okay, you remember like late at night or in the, you know, afternoon, Saturday afternoon, you're watching cartoons and then they show ads for Disney World.
Yeah.
They're like, travel to Disney World, get your free tour planning VHS tape.
Yeah.
I have so many of those. Because I called and ordered them every time.
Yeah, they're free.
And then they were free. And then you just get this videotape of Disney World. This is, you know, in the 80s when, like, there wasn't a YouTube to, like, watch a ride-through video.
Sure.
I had to, like, call an 800 number and ask them for a planning video.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, I have a bunch
That's
of
really
those.
Cute.
Yeah, and they came with brochures.
I collected them for probably a good 10-ish years. There's one that like diehard Disney fans all know and love. It was green. It was from 2005 and it was the year of 100. No, not year of 100 dreams. Happiest celebration on earth or something. There's like four hosts and it was basically YouTube before YouTube was a thing. So they had like the same personalities that we like go to our favorite YouTubers for. And that was like, I still watch that to get excited before going on a Disney trip, even though it's so out of date.
Wow.
Is it a DVD or a VHS?
It's a DVD. It's 2005. It's green.
Gotcha.
I probably actually have it here somewhere.
I'm sure it's on YouTube now. I'm sure I can find it.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay. With Aaron. She's the host.
Okay. We'll check it out. Yeah, that sounds cool. Awesome.
Yeah, that's sort of the main thing. Like that's the main thing. I also have a Figment plushie that I got when I was little, and that meant the world to me because I met the Dreamfinder and Figment, and I thought it was so magical that the Dreamfinder's arm was holding Figment, but Figment was alive, obviously. It was, you know what I mean? Like, even as a little kid, I knew he was puppeteering it because his other arm just never moved. but I just thought it was so cool. I'd never seen anything like that in real life as a kid. Yeah. It's like a real life Muppet, like a real life dragon. Like, and I have a picture of him, of me with him as a little kid, and he like bit my head. that little puppet was made out of a very hard plastic because I remember being like, ow, man, my head. It hurt a little bit.
Back up, Figment. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a sensitive child.
It's a hard plastic. Come on.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Wow. I had something similar, Mark, if I can jump in.
Oh my gosh, please.
I don't know what it's called. And if you guys know, jump in. And I don't have it anymore. But I remember vividly as a kid, not only did I have the Captain EO t-shirt with the stripe down it, that was, I think, glow in the dark or it changed colors or something. It was like a white tee with this, like just this color kind of like slash across your, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's the replica of what he wears in the movie, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they also, if you remember the movie, Captain EO kind of had this like bird thing with this long tail. It looked like a rat with wings. And it just kind of, it didn't talk. It was just like, it would fly around. And because it was 3D, this thing was flying all over the audience when you watched Captain EO.
Yep.
I had that plush of this rat flying Captain EO thing And I think at the end it goes, bye bye, when the whole movie's over, like when they're leaving and they, you know, standing out, man in love, right? And they're leaving. There's another part of me, and the bird's like, bye bye, right? I was like, I want that. I must have it. Like, my mom and dad bought it for me, and I had it, and it was in my bed as a kid. I would snuggle with it. I loved it. And then, you know, I got older, and I think I tossed it, which I completely regret now. Like, I wish I still had that plushie. I could hand it down to my children and try to explain to them what Captain EO is and them look confused. But
You messed up.
I totally pooched it. But the one thing I do have, if I can show you, and Miriam's seen this before, so I apologize to Miriam for, like, boring her again, but this is a peach of merch I have. And Miriam and I did a little series on our Insta Live. We would do our show and tells. And I brought this on a show and tell, and it's something that I found, and I found it in my grandmother's house. And my grandmother and grandfather, they had a condo in Pompano Beach, but they were really big into, like, my dad, my grandfather loved, like, theme parks, which I can't believe because we never talked about it. And they used to go to Disneyland a lot. And I found this piece in some spare bedroom in my house, in my grandparents' house. And my grandparents got put into a facility, and then I actually, like, helped facilitate the content sale or whatever. And I found this. Mm-hmm. So it's like a drink tray. Like, there's all these, like, it's from Disneyland, and it's from the 1960s.
Will you describe it?
Yeah. Well, it's a drink tray, and it has about six discs that,
like, they're little divots or whatever, indents, thank you,
Mary. Yeah, that you can, like, place, yeah,
you put your drink in,
and there's also a circle in the center that says Disneyland, has a picture of the castle. It doesn't say what year it is, it just says a Walt Disney Productions. But in each of the cylinders where the cups go, it looks like a different attraction. So you can see we got Pirates for Pirates of the Caribbean. So you know this was in the 60s when Pirates came out, so this wasn't a 50s jam. But but you have, you know, the Jungle Cruise. You got, there's Small World on there, but, you know, there's the boat, Main Street. And then this is, it's not the Astro Orbiter. I think this was, like, the original. Is it Mission to Mars Rocket to the Moon. The TWA ride, Rocket to the Moon. So, yeah, man, this is some old school stuff. I looked it up. I think Miriam and I looked it up when we did our thing, and it's from the 60s. And anyway, it's just the coolest thing I have. It's ancient, it's old, and it's cool.
And when he says the boat, he means the Mark Twain.
Yeah, of course. Sorry. Yeah. I never go on it. I met Tion on it once, and that was it. But this is, like, my most prized Disney possession. It's really beautiful. And I'm glad I, like, snagged it before the
restaurant. Do you ever use it to serve drinks?
I did once, and then someone said, you shouldn't serve drinks on this. You should probably put it somewhere.
Yeah, you should hang it up.
Now that I have an office, I think it's going to go up in the Bondo office.
Nice.
But I don't really have the office yet because people are still sleeping in it. So, once they get out of there and I can get out and I make my desk.
What magical fairies are sleeping in your office?
Well, you had company, like, all holiday weekend. And
Right.
I was like, well, I'm not going to build my desk yet. I'll make sure there's space. And I've got that Murphy bed. And let's not get into my house anyway.
That's nice of you.
So why don't we, let's swing back over to Matt. Matt, I know that you have some merch with you that you want to show, especially something that's a little bit more modern. Why don't you show us your pal?
Okay.
He's so cute.
Why don't you describe what you got there, Matt?
Oh, so this is my droid companion. His name is R210, even though technically I have since discovered that he's an R3 unit because he has the transparent dome head. And this is my droid from the Droid Depot. And it is the greatest single purchase I've made, not only at Disney World, but in my life. Whoa. And I have no regrets in saying that. Wow. No, he is amazing. I thoroughly endorse everyone should build a droid, whether you're a Star Wars fan or not. You get to customize your own robot companion. It's the dream. It's the greatest, like, experience matched with, like, souvenir. I heavily endorse experiences that leave you with a physical thing to remember the experience. And this is exactly what that is. And yeah, this droid is so much fun. I love him.
That's pretty cool.
Question one, did you name him yourself or did he come with a name? Like when you got a Cabbage Patch Kid and you look behind his ear or whatever and it said, like, Jimmy Jim Jims. And you were like, oh, that's a lame name, but I'm stuck with
you. Got Jimmy Jim Jims?
Yeah, I had like two Jimmy Jim Jims.
Is that how Cabbage Patch Kids worked?
Yeah.
Yeah. They came with names already. Yeah, yeah. You don't get to pick a name. It comes with a name. Like it.
That's too much obligation.
They come with like a little birth certificate thing or adoption certificate.
Have you seen a video of one being born?
No.
They do that too.
Ooh.
Oh, I'll send you guys a link. There's a whole Cabbage Patch mother. It's really weird.
They just crack open a cabbage and then pull it out?
It's like a giant cabbage looking thing, and they pull like little Cabbage Patch babies out of it.
Okay, so
the creature gave birth to every Cabbage Patch child in the world.
Man, she busy.
There's so many things wrong with that.
It's terrifying, honestly.
Don't like that. Well, you know what's not terrifying is building an adorable droid. This is what I love about building the droids is that I think it's one of the coolest things that Disney has created, because the whole process is so customizable that really no two droids are alike.
Yeah.
Just the whole nature of it is that you get to pick different pieces so that you have this like custom color scheme. And then beyond that, they have all the cool things like stickers and decals and accessories that you can use to accessorize your droid. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's the personality chips that adjusts what their beep boops sound like and what their allegiance is. So you can decide if you have a droid that's associated with the First Order or with the Resistance, or if it's a smuggler or a scoundrel. It starts with an S and it means like neither here nor there.
It's like, so it's like Switzerland.
Switzerland. Okay. Exactly. Right. And it's everything that Build-A-Bear should be, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. But they're not bears. Cool. Okay. I gotta say, I noticed that your R310, is that the right name?
R210.
Okay, it's supposed to be R3 because you clarified.
No, but R210 is his name. R3 is his type of droid.
But he's your co-host on Teacup for One, is he not?
He absolutely is. It's like on a talk show, or basically on a late night talk show when you have the band leader. That's what he is.
Oh, I thought he was more like your Ed McMahon. Like he was just like, yeah, you know, just like jumping in.
He's a little bit of both depending on the day and the video. You know, last year we did a series where he was the star. It was called Droids and Diadems. So it was an entire droid beauty pageant.
Yeah.
So I got a couple other droid people that are out there in the world to participate in a month-long droid competition. It was Droids and Diadems.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't seen RuPaul's Drag Race at the time, but now that I have, I realized that I basically produced Drag Race, but with droids,
right?
Which was amazing. And it worked out really well because I had my unit, which is an R unit.
Uh-huh.
We had an American unit, which was a BB unit. So like BB-8, the circular one.
Yeah.
And we had a droid all the way from Australia, which his name was Rolly, and it was one of those rolling droids like Dio from the newest Star Wars movie.
That beachhead kind of thing. Oh, those ones are cool. Wow. I didn't know those were available.
Droids from three different countries participating. Mm-hmm. It was magical. It's like my lowest viewed video series on my entire channel, but the people who watched it appreciated it.
Well, maybe not anymore. Guys, check them out. Check out Matt's droid video with R3 and a bunch of other rando droids. Let's zoom back over to Miriam. Hey, Miriam, I know you got more stuff to show us. What are some of your cool fave merch items?
Should we talk about some handmade things or a Funko?
I want things that are like near and dear to your heart. That's what I want.
Okay.
Chris, I was looking up your plushie, Fuzz Bucket.
Fuzz Bucket, yes! Fuzz Bucket, that's the name.
Fuzz Bucket.
It's a terrible name, but he was a bucket of fuzz.
Fuzz Bucket, yeah.
Yeah, he was very...
Oh, that was the Captain EO thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it was a cuddly guy.
That's cool.
Did I tell you that my earbuds, like my AirPods, are nicknamed ID and Odie?
That's amazing. Oh.
So I like a weird purse. As we know, I'm a huge fanny pack fan.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not going to wear a fanny pack, I like it to be very strange. And so I started collecting popcorn buckets. But recently I've been transforming those popcorn buckets into disco ball style popcorn buckets. So this is a yellow one that I'm showing everyone. We'll post it on our Instagram.
Beautiful.
Very happy with that. I'm making a red one as we speak because I'm going to Disneyland and I'm going to be Christopher Robin when I go back.
Yeah.
He has a red balloon.
I saw a clip today on your Instagram about you talking about how long it takes for you to make these buckets. Like little patch was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I've watched Downton Abbey so many times and it's just not getting me through this project anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing was made for me by Cos Amelia, one of our favorite cosplayers who was also on the girls trip in April to Disney World, and she did a cosplay and then had an extra prop, so she sent it to me and it's amazing. It is from Carousel Progress, and it is John Progress's fan.
Wow, very cool.
So
cool.
I love it, and I haven't put together my bound yet, but I will, because it's amazing. She hand-painted it.
That's so cool.
And it says on the back, souvenir from 1926. It's like a perfect replica. It's so cute.
Amazing. It really is.
Mark, you had some stuff too that you wanted to show and tell.
No, you asked me to tell you everything at once, so I did.
Done? All right, fine. but somebody made me ears that were Tron ears, and they're my favorite things, and I haven't worn it at the park yet, but I can't wait to do it. And who made that for me? Oh, Miriam Kenley made those for me. Miriam.
I sure did.
They are gorgeous, and I can't wait
to That was my life's work. That was very hard to put those lines on the Mickey head.
I know, I felt bad. You gave it to me. You're like, I worked like really hard on that. I would not do that again. I was like, okay, I promise I'll wear this.
Bad. It was just to tell you.
Yeah, well, it made me appreciate it even more. You weren't just like, oh, yeah, I'll put that together one night in like a couple hours. You were like, kind of toiled over this.
It had like math involved.
You had to measure stuff.
Let me tell you how much I like Tron now.
Even less. I will say merch-wise, though, getting back on topic, is for me, merch is... I'm not a big merch guy. I don't go there. I don't buy a lot of shirts. I don't buy a lot of stuff. Sometimes I do, but not very often. But what I do like to buy is Christmas ornaments. And I've mentioned it in some of our holiday pods. I really love them. And I try to get one in every place I go. Recently, when I was in Tokyo, I didn't because I was going to Taipei. I knew I would break it. I just knew it wasn't going to make it home. So I completely regret not getting something. But yeah, so I own all these Christmas ornaments, and my favorite.
You ship them home like Disney World will?
I mean, I didn't really investigate it when I was in Tokyo. They do, and I should have, but it all happened so fast. We were there for 3 days. It was like, and we're out. And I was like, oh, I forgot the Christmas ornament.
Darn.
Yeah, it was a big darn. But I have one from Paris that I love, and it's Mickey and Minnie over the Eiffel Tower. And I don't know, it's really special to me, and it's on my tree every year. So every time I hang it up on my tree, it makes me think of that trip. I know that's super kind of lame sounding, but I don't know. I think it's kind of special.
That's not lame.
Yeah.
Very cute.
I really love it. And every time because I have a bunch of these bulbs, I put them up. I remember that trip, and that trip might correlate to something like, oh, I remember this is the first time Mason went on Splash Mountain, or, oh, this was the time I kissed my wife on Main Street, or, oh, you know, just like special moments that I remember hanging these balls. Ornaments on the tree. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. Hey, Miriam, I hear you have one more amazing thing you want to tell us about. Hit it up.
I do. I got this one actually for Kiera for her new nursery for the pod baby, as we're calling
pod baby.
Her baby on the way. And it is from her favorite ride. And it's Peter Pan riding his little sailboat from the ride. And it's the cutest thing ever.
Oh, my goodness.
He's even doing a Peter Pan pose. He's got a little feather. So cute. And the sailboat is blue.
That is adorable. I'm
going to go in Tristan's nursery because he's going to be a Peter Pan fan.
Yes,
we'll make it that way.
You have no choice.
What a thoughtful gift. Guys, merchandise, we all have it. What's some of your favorite merchandise? Is there something that's really special to you that you keep near and dear to your heart? I want to hear about it. We want to hear about it. Hit us up at whatsup@welikethemeparks.com because we want to know all about it.
I remembered the name of the ear company too.
What is it?
Mickey balloon ears, and it is called Happily Ear for After. Ear for After. Instead of ever, it's ear.
Earver. Yeah. Okay, that's not hard to pronounce. Okay, great. Well, hey, way to go, because you have beautiful ears. Okay, friends. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with some King of the Castle after this quick break. We like theme parks.
Do we like theme parks podcast? King of the Castle.
It's King of the Castle, friends, and we have our queen, Queen Miriam, Queen of the Castle. She has won so many times. Like, forget it. Don't even bother counting anymore. She's just the best. Like, it's been over a year. Has it been over a year? I want to say it has been. She's so coy. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we had to bring in another ringer.
Yes, I won my crown in spring of 2020. So here we are.
Summer of
2021.
Wow, it has been over a year. And listen, we brought in ringers. And they just can't beat Miriam. I don't know what it is. But today, we've got Matt Yipchuk from Teacup for One. Pretty knowledgeable dude. Friend of the podcast. And today, guys, I want to tell you, today's theme, it's not easy. but here it is. Today's theme is defunct Disney attractions.
Oh, okay. No.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, as you know, when we play King of the Castle and it's Miriam versus the Ringer, Mark can come in and sweep up garbage votes. So be careful. Mark has got you. He's going to be right there to snag some of those votes. And here's how we're playing today, guys. It goes like this. Each attraction I'm going to give you clues. Clue one, I'm going to give you the park that it was in and the year that it closed. Clue two, I'm going to give you the land that it's in and the replacement attraction for it. And then clue three will be just some kind of tidbit about the attraction. So if you get that answer in round one, you get 3 points. If you get that answer in round two, you get two. And if you get it in three, you get 1 point. So the quicker you know it with the fewer clues, the more points you get. Make sense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, it does.
Booyah.
I just
Uh-oh, what?
This is just going to be really hard. I don't think I'm going to know these.
Oh, you knew.
I don't even know what Captain EO is. So here we go.
You didn't know what Captain EO was?
I only know what it is from listening to this show. And then I put the pieces together. I was like, oh, it's the thing that actually, well, no, I don't want to give you clues. Here we go.
Here we go, guys. For all the marbles. And the...
I mean the marbles.
Yeah. And the...
Gang of the castle.
Crown, baby. Huzzah. All right. It's happening right now. Here we go. Question number one. If you know the answer, either of you, jump in. You can take one guess per clue. And if you don't know it, you don't know it. That's fine, too. You can just lose. What up?
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty hardcore over here. Question.
Very strong language.
Clue number one. Disneyland, 1967.
I forgot the rules. What were the rules again?
If you answer it soon, you get 3 points. If you answer it in round two, you get 2 points. If you answer it in round three, you get 1 point.
But what did you just say? You said Disney in 1967. Yeah, that's the year this attraction closed.
And the park that it was in. Yeah.
Flying Saucers.
Flying Saucers is incorrect.
Phantom Boats.
Also incorrect. Clue number two. It was in Tomorrowland. And it later became the following things: Alpine Gardens, King Triton's Gardens, and Pixie Hollow.
And it was in Tomorrowland.
Correct.
Oh.
Matt, anything?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Gardens.
Gardens. I love the throw-in of gardens for sure.
Incorrect.
The Lily Gardens.
Incorrect. The last one, this is just tidbits. It was sponsored by Montesanto. And they say that when they tried to use a wrecking ball against it, it just bounced off when they were taking it down. They had to actually destroy it by hacksaws.
What does Montesanto do?
I don't know. No idea. Stuff.
What is this indestructible attraction?
No? Bueller?
I have no idea.
Matt, nothing?
Nope.
Okay, the answer was the House of the Future, Montesanto.
Was it the House of the Future?
Oh. I already said the answer, but Mark, you know what? I'll let you do cleanup next time, okay? Here we go.
Yeah, you didn't even offer
it. I didn't.
What is the House of the Future? What was it?
I said it very quickly. I said it. I got that. I'm giving myself the point.
Do you remember? Yeah. Tell you what, Mark, I'll give you 1 point for Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. 1 point for guys, you got to beat Mark. Mark's in the lead.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
What was this thing?
So it was like a futuristic house that was made out of plastic. It was all plastic.
Yeah.
So when they brought this wrecking ball, it went bang right off the plastic. They had to go in and like with like hacksaws. Brutal.
And that was the irony, right? Was that like part of the point of the display or this like whatever exhibit was to like prove how durable and futuristic and good plastic was, right?
Yeah. And now it's ruining the world. Yeah. So... Right, way to go.
But they were also correct because that house would still be standing if they didn't hacksaw it.
Yeah, totally. Sure. Absolutely.
Pieces of it are probably still around.
Yeah, somewhere.
Right.
All right, let's get into number two. Here's question number two. It goes like this. Here's your first clue. Disneyland, 1956.
Flying Saucers.
Miriam?
The boats, the Phantom Boats.
No. Adorable, though. Okay. Next clue is, it was located on Main Street. and it was taken over by a glass and china shop and later the silhouette shop.
Wizard of Bras.
Wizard of Bras is correct for 2 points. That's Miriam. Excellent work, Miriam. All right, we're moving on to question number three, and here's your first clue. This attraction closed in the Magic Kingdom in 2010.
The alien encounter. Extraterrestrial.
That's double wrongs. Matt?
10.
Yeah, okay, that's what you get. Okay. Your mumble. Okay, here we go. Next clue is this. It is located in Fantasyland, and the land is presently being occupied by the Seven Dwarves Mine Train.
Ariel's Grotto?
Miriam, you got something? I see a shaky face. Okay. No bueno. Okay, here's the last clue.
Snow White's Scary Adventures.
No. Okay, here's the very last clue. So for 1 point, now the Seven Dwarves Mine Train was built on this land. It was previously housed by 20,000 Leagues Beneath the Sea, and part of this location was relocated across the pathway to the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Dumbo. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Incorrect. Matt, Mark, you got this one?
Yeah, it's Pooh's Playful Spot.
Mark with the point. That's Mark with 1 point. Tying him up.
Had a playful spot?
Thank you very much.
Mark, can you describe what that attraction was?
Yeah, it was like a little playland kind of thing.
That's right. And they took the big tree and they moved it across the path, and it's now in the queue for the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. Nice work, Mark Andrada. Yeah, I want to give you a...
Well, it's too bad I'm not actually playing, right? It's too bad that I'm not actually in this matchup. I'm just sort of this afterthought that nobody bothered to include me in your game.
Hey, so, Mark.
You can transfer your points to me.
No, I'm not really even getting points. I'm just sitting here listening quietly.
I mean, I'm including your points, so... But anyway, all right.
Yeah. So I include my points, but they don't count for sure.
Here we go. Question number four.
Until they do.
Then they will.
The park is Epcot. The year this attraction closed was 2007.
I mean, that's Maelstrom. So big.
Maelstrom.
Matt, what did you say?
Horizons.
Okay. The land was the Wonders of Life Pavilion, and it's the soon-to-be Play Pavilion.
And it closed?
2007.
2007. I don't know.
Miriam?
No idea.
Matt?
The land?
No. Come on, man. Okay.
Casting a wide net.
For 1 point, here's your extra clues. And they go like this.
Wait, will you do me a favor? Will you read all of the clues from the beginning and then do the third one?
Oh, okay, sure. You want to recap? You got it. So it closed in Epcot in 2007.
Yeah.
It was in the Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is soon to become the Play Pavilion. And here's your next clue. It is this. It was sponsored by MetLife, and it featured SNL stars Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon reprising their famous duo, Hans and Franz. They're going to bump you up.
Yeah, I remember those guys.
Yeah. Matt.
Was it the food thing where the food was singing? Food Rock?
Food Rocks is incorrect. Miriam?
No idea.
Mark Andrada for the steal.
Was it Body Wars?
Incorrect. It was Cranium Command. Cranium Command with Buzzy.
He got stolen.
He got stolen. Yeah. Poor Buzzy. Poor Buzzy. Okay.
Where is he now? Where's Buzzy now?
Buzzy, where are you at? Hit us up at
what is Buzzy?
He was the kid in Cranium Command. He was like the kid who's in the brain, who's like working for the, it was like a militant thing, right? There was general knowledge and he was like, all right, recruits, you're going to get in that brain.
Yeah.
And then Buzzy was like the little cadet and he's like, yes, sir. And he's in your brain.
Yeah.
And then Dana Carvey, I think Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon were like the heart, like the left and right ventricle, because they're pumping you up, getting the blood pumping, you know?
Yeah.
And it had John Lovitz and it had like a bunch of like comedians and things all over, and they were like different body parts. and there was two eyeballs, and the eyeballs would like see a girl, and then the kid who was that the you were in the brain of would get excited, and his heart would start to pump, and it was cool. It was a cute thing.
And wait, Buzzy got stolen?
He got stolen. But let's keep going. All right, question number five. Here we go. The attraction, clue number one, Hollywood Studios. It closed in 2014.
Was it still MGM Studios then?
I don't know, but you get one of those.
My guess right away was going to be, was the thing that closed MGM Studios?
No.
Matt. I don't remember what year that
Matt. Happened.
Yeah, 2014.
Miriam, you can jump in too, man. This is a free for all.
The Backlot tour.
Incorrect.
The lights, camera, car crashing stunt thing.
No, sir. Okay, moving on. This is clue number two. It was in Echo Lake, and the attraction that replaced it is Frozen Sing Along.
American Idol Live thing.
American Idol Live is correct.
Yes!
For 2 points for Matt.
Finally.
Matt is on the board. Okay, so we're moving to question number six. Here we go. Now, this is a tricky one. It closed in Epcot and Disneyland, 1994.
Captain EO.
Captain EO for 3 points is correct.
Wow, so fast.
Yes, excellent work.
1994 that closed, and then it came back for a bit.
It did come back later, yeah. In 2010, it came back, yeah.
Not the full version, though.
Yeah,
I saw
the last clue was
both versions.
The last clue is we're going to change the world.
I don't get it.
Never got there, but that's okay.
I don't get any of these references.
I'm sorry, watch Matt. It.
Okay,
you gotta watch it. It's on YouTube. Yeah,
there we go. No, it's great. It's great. And the original song, "We Are Here to Change the World," is awesome. If I could dance and like shoot rays of light at people and make them like from evil to good, I mean, the world would be a better place.
Yeah.
Yep.
True that.
Okay. Number seven. Here we go. The park was Epcot. The year was 2007.
Horizons.
Incorrect. Miriam, you got anything?
Sorry. Say that again.
It's Epcot 2007.
Maelstrom.
Incorrect. Okay. Clue number two, and it's just like the old one, Wonders of Life Pavilion, soon to be Play Pavilion.
Food Rocks.
Body Wars.
Body Wars for 2 points is correct.
Body Wars.
I almost said Body Wars. And I went with my first instinct from the last round.
You fool. Whoops. Question number eight. Here we go. The park is Animal Kingdom. The year is 1999. This attraction closed in 1999.
Tarzan Rocks.
Incorrect, but great guess. Matt.
1999. The Pocahontas Animal Friend show.
Good guess, not the right one. Okay, here's clue number two. It wasn't in one land. It was in all the lands. And the second clue in clue two is nothing replaced it.
A parade?
Good guess, but no.
What was the first clue again? It closed in what year?
1999. This is Animal Kingdom.
99.
It's a part of all the lands, and nothing replaced it.
Part of all the lands.
Yeah. Anybody? Any guess, Miriam?
No.
Okay.
McDonald's.
McDonald's also incorrect, Matt.
Oh, I guessed already.
Did you? This clue?
I said a parade.
All right. Well, hey, that you get that in your face. Okay. There you go. Okay. Last clue. Here we go. The clue is this. This ride closed due to customer complaints. And it was also not only a ride, but a transportation system.
Was it a boat?
What's the name of this boat?
The Animal Kingdom Friendship Ferry.
Miriam?
All right, what was the clue one more time?
It closed after a year because of a bunch of complaints, and it was also a transportation system.
What were the complaints?
That it sucked, that it was so boring.
Oh, really? It was that it sucked?
Yeah. Give me one at a time. Some kind of trolley.
No, it was a boat. We already said it was a boat.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give Matt a half a point.
Half points.
I can't give him point. He didn't give me the answer, man. He gets a half a point as a consolation prize.
Thank you.
might be handy in case of a tie.
It will be.
It was the Discovery River boats. If you remember that, it's the boats that went all the way around the lagoon and around the tree. Mm-hmm. It's the place where you could see, remember Aladar was in the water, the dinosaur, or they had that little area that was supposed to be a part of Beastly Kingdom where like the
smoke.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And there was a little, like the little water sea creature that was there, right?
Well, the sea creature was, they were going to do like a Kraken and they never did it.
No, but there was like a little, there was something in the water. Wasn't there like a, like an animatronic in the water?
Yeah,
that
was the
by?
Dinosaur. That was Aladar, the dinosaur.
That's what it was.
And then the other thing was they would blow fire out of this like rock face. And there was all these like impaled knights. And it was supposed to be a dragon living inside. You remember this? It was supposed to be a part of Beastly Kingdom that never came. And then there was a bridge that was supposed to have troll writing underneath. There was supposed to be a Kraken.
Rest in beast.
Yeah. They did nothing. They like totally cheaped out on it. It was terrible. So what they ended up doing, because the ride was so crappy, was they started bringing like little animals on the ride for you to look at while you were driving places.
That's not great.
And then later they changed it to a Radio Disney attraction where you'd be listening to Radio Disney songs. It was more like a fairy. Died such a horrible death. So this ride gets one of these, all right? Okay, moving on to number 9. This is at DCA, Miriam.
Oh.
2002.
Hollywood Limo.
Movie star ride.
I'm going to give it to Matt. Superstar Limo is the ride. It's 3 points for Matt.
Superstar Limo.
I'm going to give a half point to Mark.
Yes.
I said movie star ride.
I'm going to give a half point to Miriam.
Thank you.
I actually didn't say the total name of the, you know what, Matt, I'm going to bump you down to 2 points because you just said Hollywood, whatever. You said limo, but you didn't say superstar limo. So I'm giving you 2 points.
Oh, I thought I did check.
I said Hollywood. Superstar
I know. And that's
limo
why you got
now.
A half a point, Mark. I gave it to you. Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is also DCA. The year is 2018 is when it closed.
Oh,
the Bug's Life thing, the caterpillar trolley deal.
What's it called?
Heimlich's Adventure.
Miriam with 3 points. Way to go, Matt. Matt, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you 1 point.
Would any of the rides from there have worked?
No, I wanted Heimlich's. That was the Heimlich's
Not
choo-choo.
Not Flick's Flyers.
No.
What was it called?
Heimlich's Choo Choo.
Heimlich's Adventure?
No, you said it. It's Heimlich's Choo Choo.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Isn't that what you said? You said Heimlich's Choo Choo.
She said Heimlich's Adventure.
I'm knocking her down to two. Okay. Knocking her down to two.
I got one, right?
You did get one.
Because I said the caterpillar thing? Uh-huh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the last one, guys. This is number 11. Actually, okay. You know what? Maybe should I? Let me just make sure that you're not tied here.
I think we're like within a half point or at least like 1 point of each other, if math serves, but there were lots of halves. And
okay, we'll tell you what, let's just do this one and we'll roll the dice. And if there's a tie, it's a tie and Miriam remains champion. Okay, here's the last one, number 11. Yeah, you heard me. Well, it's my rules. It's my game. Here we go. Okay. Disneyland, 1973 is when it closed.
The Flying Saucers.
Miriam. Phantom Boats.
Just keep going to the well on the Phantom Boats. Okay. Clue number 2. Frontierland. And it was replaced by Big Thunder.
Country Bear Jamboree.
Replaced by Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Oh my gosh. The Donkey Trail Ride.
The Donkey Trail Ride.
We got to give it to Matt because you already had a turn, Miriam. Matt gets it. I'm going to give Miriam 1 point. So Matt gets 2 points. But wait a second. What did you call it? The donkey, Matt? What's it called? What's the ride called, Matt?
The Donkey Trail.
Matt, no, Matt just literally said the exact words that Miriam said.
So okay. I'm gonna give so Matt gets one. Miriam gets one.
I love that he's getting more points. Miriam goes the Donkey Trail ride. Matt goes the Donkey Trail ride. You got it, Matt.
But Miriam had already given an answer this round, and that's why I said no. I didn't want to say anything. And then he just said the same thing, and I'm like, ugh.
Okay, let's give. Okay, what is the name of this actual thing? Does anybody actually know Miriam?
Mark, do you know it for the steal?
Matt, do you know?
Mark, do you know it for the steal?
Of course I know it. What is it? I want to know if Miriam knows it or Matt knows it.
They don't.
They weren't donkeys. I guess they were mules. They're pack mules, probably.
That was it. The pack mules. There it is.
Oh, that's not what I was going to say.
It was the pack mules.
Matt, 5 points.
Miriam, -1.
All right. I'm gonna throw Miriam an extra one just for that. Boom. For saying pack mules. There we go. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves. Let me get the score here.
There's no tiebreaker?
I don't know if there's a tie. I don't know what the score. I don't know. Hold on.
Tiebreaker.
Let's see.
Okay, we don't even know if it's a tie. You're right. Okay. I want it to be a tie for the suspense of it.
Tiebreaker.
Okay, friends, here we go. Here's the tabulation with 2.5 points. Mark Andrada. Mark Andrada.
What? I wasn't even playing.
I'm saying you got 2.5 points, and I'm applauding you.
Okay.
He's not the winner.
The final score was 11.5 points to 6.5 points. It was not as close as we thought. And the winner and still champion, Miriam Kenley. Wow.
Wow.
She can't be beat. Even when she's like, I'm going to lose. I don't know the answers.
I really thought I was going to today. If you hadn't picked one that we were both struggling at, it would have lost for sure.
You know, this is a tricky one. Yeah, it's just how much you know your Disney history. And
it was The Wizard of Bras that won it for me.
The Wizard
that
of
Bras. That was it. That's when I knew it was over.
The Wizard of Bras was a big one. And you had another big one, too. You had a couple goodies there, Miriam. That was great. Miriam is our champion. She is the queen of the castle. She is undefeated. She's won so many in a row. We don't even count anymore. It's been over a year.
You guys are still the Dirty Rascals.
Oh, my goodness. We have to find another ringer now. This is so much work. Matt, thank you for being amazing. It was close. Well, it wasn't that close, but it was close-ish.
No, I know. Like, I tried.
Yeah, like you did better than I would have done. I'm really impressed. And thanks so much for, you know, throwing your hat in the ring and getting stomped on by Miriam. I don't know what to say. Okay, friends. Well, hey, this is the end of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you had a good time, please rate, review, subscribe. Like, those are all nice things, and you could be doing them for us. Why not? You know, you just had a nice holiday. It's the 4th of July. We're still celebrating. Celebrate with us with a beautiful review. Why not? If you have something you want to say to us, or you want to just hit us up, you got a segment idea, what's up? We like theme parks.
You got something you want to say to us?
Yeah, something you
say it.
you have something to say about the game we just played? Maybe you don't think the scoring was so favorable? Like, hey, jump in. What's up? We like theme parks. You can also find us goofing around on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks. And you can always find us on Magic of the Mouse Radio every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5, noon on Sundays. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast, composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Yeah. A big old shout out to Matt Yipchuk. Matt, thank you so much for coming on today. Where can we find you and what's going on?
You can find me over at YouTube on Teacup for One, which is spelled exactly like it sounds, or on Instagram at Yipchuck, which is spelled Y-I-P-C-H-U-C-K. And that's where you can see me advertising the videos that are on YouTube or the occasional Funko Pop photo. And by occasional, that's like 90% of my feed.
Check out Matt's Instagram. It's great. These Funko shots are bonkers. They're so beautiful. If you love Funkos, don't miss Matt's stuff. It's incredible. And Teacup for One, extremely insightful. Don't miss it. You want to hear about C? Matt's your guy. Check him out. All right, friends. Well, for Matt, for Miriam, and Mark, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. See you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
we like theme parks.
We like theme parks.
.com.
We like theme parks. The We Like Theme Parks podcast.